If you have a copy of the scriptures, will you please turn to 1 Corinthians? And we are going to be in chapter 12 this morning. Today, we are finishing up our study of 1 Corinthians, and we'll be moving into 2 Corinthians next week. I'm really excited to be able to finish up and to get into what we're going to be looking at today, because I think it helps us to understand why God has called you to be a part of His church. And we'll get into that in just a minute. But let's begin by looking at what we read this week, because we read a whole bunch this week. The first thing that we read this week is the first part of chapter 12 was about spiritual gifts. And we're going to talk more about that here in just a little bit. And then Paul follows that up with a discussion about unity within the church, and unity as it relates to some of those spiritual gifts. And then in chapter 13, it's the love chapter, right? It talks about what love is and what it does and why it's so important. And then again in chapter 14, we talk about more propriety in worship. Now, Paul was really concerned about what was going on in the church in Corinth, because they were worshiping in a way that was bringing shame to God rather than praise to God. And one of the things, and this is a freebie, okay? One of the things that we should be worried about too is, does our worship bring praise to God or shame to God? I mean, if you want to talk with me more about that, that's fine. But if you want to talk more with God about that, read chapter 14 again. Because God is very concerned, and Paul was very concerned about why certain things were happening, and talking about being careful about how we worship. Then in chapter 15, Paul goes into a discussion about the resurrection, why it's important, A, that we believe in the resurrection, because if we don't believe in the resurrection, then guess what? Jesus didn't rise from the dead, and so our faith is in vain, Paul says. Then Paul talks in the first part of chapter 16 about a collection for the believers in Jerusalem. And then at the rest of chapter 16 is basically Paul's closing remarks to some of the people at the church in Corinth. Now, let me ask you this question. How many times has this happened to you? All right, are you ready? We're going to talk about a couple situations and tell me if this has ever happened to you. Okay, you receive a gift, whether it's from a friend, family member, or a total stranger, whatever. And it comes to you, and it's wrapped very nicely. Your name is on it. But when it's handed to you, you back off and say, no, thank you. How many of you have ever done that? Okay. One of you. Okay. Or maybe you receive the gift, you take the gift, and you tell the person thank you, but you just take it home and you put it on the shelf and you never open it. You never unwrap it. Nobody. Or maybe you do open it, you see what it is, but you never take it out of the box and use it. Maybe some of you have done that, right? Maybe some of you dads have received Father's Day gifts that you don't intend to open and use. I don't know. Maybe. Or maybe you take it out of the box, but you never use it the way it was intended to be used, i.e., you don't read the instructions. Men, raise your hands, because that's most of us, right? We don't read the instructions. Now, as strange as it sounds, most Christians have been given a gift that they either have no idea what it is or no idea how to use it. And today, I want to talk about that. But before we begin, I want us to read our scripture reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. So if you will stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word, we can read this together, or you can just listen as I read, and we will go through this together. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 11. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You for the gifts that each one of us has been given. And Lord, I pray today as we talk about what it means to have received the gift that we've been given, help us to learn how not just to receive the gift, but Lord, how to use it, how to put it to work, how to see how You have called us to take the gift that we have and use it for the benefit of the whole body of Christ. And Lord, I just pray that You would be with us today. I pray that the words of my mouth would not be my own, but that they would be Yours and that You would use them in the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish in each one of us what needs to be accomplished today, so that we might leave here more like Christ than when we came. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So Paul here talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And we begin by talking about gifts, right? Paul wants us to understand that the gifts that are given by the Spirit are to be used for the benefit of the whole church. Look at what it says here in verse 7. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So gifts are given to us. Whatever gift we have is given to us so that it might be used for the benefit of everyone else in the church. And not just in our own local congregation, but think about this. God has given you a gift that He wants you to use to bless the whole church. So not just Grace Evangelical Free Church, but also First Baptist Church of Aledo, and the United Methodist Church of Aledo, and Trinity Presbyterian, and all the other churches in our area. The gifts have been given to you for the benefit of the whole church. And again, not just the church in Aledo, but the church in Illinois, or the church in America, or the church in North America, or the church in the... You know, you get what I'm saying, right? It's for the whole church. And I don't want you to think, but I'm just a small person, nobody knows my name. The gift that you have been given is given for the benefit of the entire church. And when you know what your gift is, and when you put your gift to work in the service that God wants you to do, then you will be benefiting not just this church, but every church everywhere in the world. Now, Paul says there are different kinds of gifts, right? Just like the body has many parts, right? If we keep going down in this passage in verse 12, when Paul talks about unity, I love this passage because it just makes me laugh. When Paul starts talking about the different parts of the body talking to each other, it makes me laugh because I think about, what if my foot started talking to my hand? You know, my foot might say, what are you doing? You don't need that extra piece of pizza. Because I'm the one who has to carry all that weight from here to there. So stop it, right? Or my hand might watch where my foot is going and say, where are you going? We don't want to go there. We want to go someplace else. And how difficult life would be if your body parts began talking to each other and arguing with each other, you know? You know, your funny bone might start talking to your nose and say, careful, don't blow it. You know, stuff like that. It's Father's Day. Allow me a dad joke, okay? But within the body, and again, Paul's talking about the church, just like the body has many parts, sometimes the different parts of the body and the different gifts that we've been given, we might sense a feeling of inadequacy, right? And that's what Paul says. He says the foot may say to the hand, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. That doesn't make it not part of the body, even though it's feeling that way. Or the ear says, because I'm not the eye, I'm not a part of the body. But then again, there's also times when different people and different gifts that we have might cause a feeling of superiority, right? Again, Paul, in further on here, he says, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Right? If the whole body were an eye, weird, you know, where would the sense of hearing be? This was interesting to me as I read it, because Paul said, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Did anybody else catch that? Who's the head of the body? And Paul says, the head cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. Look, Jesus is God. He doesn't need us. But God has placed himself, I don't want to say at the mercy because he's not at anybody's mercy, but God has invested, that's a better word, he has invested the work of building this church, the work of reaching the world for Jesus, he has invested it in us. And whatever your gift is, it is to be used to advance God's kingdom. Right? We're all part of the body. We are all part of the body, and we all have, not one of us is less important than the other. Not one of us is more important than the other. We all need to work together. So Paul says the gifts, the manifestation of the Spirit has been given for the common good, for the good of the whole body. And then Paul lists some of these gifts. He says that to one person has been given a message of wisdom, someone else a message of knowledge, to another a gift of faith. Now, I want to say something, and I hope I don't get in trouble, okay? But as I read that, the gift of faith, I got to thinking, well, without, you know, we need to have faith in God or faith in Christ in order to be saved and receive a gift. So what is the gift of faith? Because it's, to me, as I read that, the gift of faith is not the same as faith that we have towards salvation. Faith, when you look up the Greek word that is used here, it is the same word that is used for saving faith. However, when you dig deeper and you look at what this word means, it is a derivative of another Greek word. So the Greek word that's used in this passage is the Greek word pitho. All right? I can't spell it because it's Greek to me. But come on. I get three strikes. All right? That's two. I won't do another one. Or at least I can't promise I won't, but I'll try not to. Okay? So the word, the word that's used here is pistos, which means a conviction or a reliance, especially in Jesus. Okay, so that's the word used here. But it is pistos is a derivative of pitho, which means to convince or to pacify. Okay, so in my thinking, as I look at that, the gift of faith isn't faith in Jesus, because we all have that in order to receive the gift in the first place. As I look at it, I believe that what Paul is saying is that the gift of faith is someone who has the ability to convince someone else that Jesus is God and that his death and his burial and his resurrection are real and we need to receive that. So Don't hate me for saying that, but that's what I believe. And so we can have a discussion on that later if you want to. That's fine. But other gifts that Paul lists here, the gifts of healing, gifts of performing miracles, gifts of distinguishing between the spirits, gifts of speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. These are all different gifts that are given to the church for a common good. But look at throughout that passage, what Paul says is that those gifts are all given to us by the same Spirit. Every gift that we have is from the Holy Spirit. And if you're a Christian, if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, you have a gift. And by way of application, I want you to know that whatever gift you have, it's because the Holy Spirit gave it to you. So you can't say, well, I have the gift of prophecy, or I have the gift of knowledge, or I have the gift of faith, or the gift of miracles, or whatever, and say, look what a wonderful person I am, because it didn't come from you. It came from the Holy Spirit. And Paul says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. And then he goes on and he says there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different service. Romans 12, chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Paul gives us another list of, Paul calls them gifts, but honestly, I believe that these would lie under more of the service area, right? And I think that the gift that we have needs to be used in one of these areas of service. Prophesying, which is preaching or delivering a word from God. Serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading. Also in some translations, it's the gift of administration. Showing mercy. These are areas of service within the church that we need. Every church needs to have people who prophesy, who deliver a word from God. And can I say this? Maybe this isn't a good thing for me to say because it might knock me out of a job. But that's not just the pastor who delivers words from God. The pastor doesn't have a corner on the market of hearing from God and through his word. If there's one thing I've said over and over and over again, it's that I want God to speak to you directly, not through me, but through his word, through his Spirit. I want you to hear from God yourself. We need people to serve in the church. We need people to teach. And that's different than preaching. But we need people who are encouraging. We need people to give. Obviously, if people don't give, and I'm not just talking about tithes and offerings, I'm talking about resources and time and those types of things. But if people don't give, we're not going to be able to continue to be a church. I'm sorry, I got to take this off because I'm starting to sweat way too bad. We need people to lead. We need people to be able to administrate the church. And we need people to show mercy. These are all things that service that we need, the church needs to perform. But the Holy Spirit directs every one of us to the service that we perform, no matter what it is. Different service, same Spirit. And the application is that the way you serve may be different from someone else, but it's all from God's Holy Spirit. So whether you are a giver, or whether you are an administrator, or whether you are an encourager, or a server, or a prophesier, is that a word? Or a teacher, or you're one who shows mercy, you have been given that service from the Spirit. And then in verse 6, Paul says there are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. right? There are different works. Let's turn back to chapter 3. Look at verses 5 through 9 here. He says this. Let's jump back up to chapter 1 to get context here. He says, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I give you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one of you says, 'I follow Paul,' and another says, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task or his work. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are God's co-workers in His service, and you are God's field and God's building." Paul says that there are different works. One of us is watering, one of us is planting, one of us is reaping. But God is the one who's bringing the increase. God is the one who makes it grow. Different works, one Spirit and purpose. So whether I'm watering or whether I'm planting or whether I'm reaping, the purpose is the same. That people will come to know Jesus as their Savior and grow to be planters, waterers, and reapers. Does that make sense? Amen. One Spirit, one purpose. And by way of application, it doesn't matter what God has you doing. And we talked about this last week. Do it all for the glory of the Lord through His Spirit. So when we talk about gifting, when we talk about service, when we talk about work, all of those things need to be working together, moving in the same direction to accomplish what God has for us to do. And what is that? Well, we're going to talk about that next week. But let me give you some challenges for this week, okay? And just let's think about this together. First of all, I want you to know your gift. Know your gift. As you look at the gifts that are listed here in chapter 12 that we read, when you look at that list of gifts, what would you say is your gift? Do you know what your gift is? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But if you've never done so, I would strongly encourage you to take a spiritual gift survey. You could take one online, or if you'd rather not, I can print one off for you, and we can go over it. You can answer the questions, and we can go over it together. If you want to take the online approach, I would recommend this website, if you want to write it down. It's gifts, G-I-F-T-S, .churchgrowth.org, which will take you to about if you go there, the forms that come up, it'll take you about 11 to 12 minutes from the time you start to the time you get your results. And this site, I like this site because it is detailed and it's simple for each statement, because there's only three choices for each statement. It's like, I definitely agree with that statement, I sort of agree with that statement, I totally disagree with that statement. So there's only three options. So it should be really quick. And when you do this, you want to answer questions with your gut, like answer quickly. Don't sit there and think, like some people I know, don't sit there and think, well, I answered this for that question, and this question is similar, so I got to answer this. Don't do that, because the questions, while they may be similar, they're designed to get your reaction, and then you will, at the end, it will give you your three top giftings. And that way you can know what your gift is. Now, they've thrown in the service gifts as well. That's okay. But you got to know your gift if you're going to be able to use it. If you don't know your gift, you can't use it. If you haven't unwrapped it or taken it out of the box, you'll never be able to use it, right? And then, step back. Once you know your gifting, then you'll even be able to understand why you do some of the things you do. Sometimes we do things and it makes us go, why did I do that? Sometimes the reason we do things the way we do is because of our spiritual gifting. And when you get that, spiritual gift, it will help you with the second challenge, and that is to perform your service. If you were with us a couple of months ago, you heard us talk about how we can learn to hear from the Spirit. And maybe that wasn't even a couple of months ago. It might have been a couple of weeks ago. But God, the Holy Spirit wants us to know God's will. And as we learn this spiritual discipline of listening for God, we begin to hear more from the Holy Spirit as to what our service should be. And sometimes our gifting will automatically place us in a certain area of service. But as we go through our lives, God wants us to give our attention to the service that we are to perform. Our gifting might be in evangelism, so our service could be in prophesying or teaching or encouraging or in showing mercy. Our gifting might be in discernment, and our service could be in leading or administration, teaching or serving. Our gifting may be in wisdom, and our service could be in prophesying, teaching, or leading. Knowing our gifting will help us to know what area of service we would be best suited for. And so we're not trying to fit square pegs in round holes, right? And so once you have your gifting, start asking God where your service in the church should be used. And then finally, keep it your work. And this is where the rubber kind of meets the road, right? We figure out what our gifting is. We move into our time of service. And then, okay, what do I do with it now? Paul said, one waters, one plants, one reaps, but God is the one who brings about the harvest. It isn't about who is the most charismatic or the best looking, and heaven knows that's true in my case, right? But about who is willing. Let me say it again. It isn't about who's the most charismatic or the best looking, but about the one who is willing. Who is willing to put their shoulder to the shovel and get dirty for the kingdom of God? Who is willing to put in the hard moments on our knees in prayer? Who is willing to say that no matter what the opposition may claim, we are going to keep on working no matter what? How many of you remember the name Jeffrey Owens? Anybody? Okay. You might not recognize the name, but I bet most of you who are over 45 will recognize the face. That's the guy who played Elvin Thibodeau, or as most of us knew him, Sandra's husband, from The Cosby Show back in the early to mid 80s. Not too long ago, Owens was photographed bagging groceries at a New Jersey Trader Joe's. And when asked about it, Owens said, I got to the point that I needed to take a job to pay my bills, to support my family. It was basically that. See, Owens' income took a huge hit after reruns of The Cosby Show were pulled due to Bill Cosby's conviction of sexual assault. Owens said, I lost a lot of money from that. I don't feel sorry for myself about it, but the fact is that that was another contributing factor, along with everything else everyone has to deal with, medical bills, car issues, kids in college, you name it. What I hope continues to resonate is the idea that one job is not better than another, Owens said. A certain job may pay more, it might have better benefits, it might look better on paper, but that essentially one kind of work isn't better than another kind of work, but that we reevaluate the whole idea and start honoring the dignity of work and the dignity of the working person. And in the same way that Jeffrey Owens believed that we need to put dignity in our work, we need to remember that just because we are gifted in a way that isn't as obvious or isn't as upfront as somebody else, it doesn't mean that our service and our work is any less important. And just because we serve and are gifted in one way, not everyone else is gifted the same way. The Corinthians were putting one gift above another, or one service above others, and it was causing divisions in the church. And it was through this discussion of unity and spiritual gifts that Paul launches into this idea that if we do any of this without love, 1 Corinthians 13, then it's all worthless, right? Because Paul said, if I have the ability to speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't do that with the spirit of love, I become white noise, worthless. If I can understand prophecy and mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't love the people that I'm ministering to, he says, I am nothing. I'm a worthless person. And he goes on, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardships that I might boast but don't have love, I don't gain a thing. This is the point, friends, that God wants us to get to work, to know our gifts, to know where we can use our gifts in our service, and then get to work. God put each of us in His family just where we needed to be, so that our gifting and area of service might be a benefit for the entire body of Christ. For everyone in this room, for everyone in this community, for everyone in this world. So friends, let me say it one more time and then we'll close. Know your gifting. Know where your service needs to be. And then keep at it until the Lord comes back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the way in which you have blessed each of us. The way you have gifted us. The service that you have in mind for each of us, Lord. And it may be different for each of us. But Lord, help us to be consistent with knowing who we are, where we've been gifted, how you want us to serve the church and to work at becoming everything that you want us to be. Lord, I just pray that in all that we say and all that we do, Lord, we would continue to remember that you are the one who has gifted us, and Lord, you have an area of service for us to work in, and Lord, help us to get to work, so that you might be honored and glorified, so that the church might be strengthened and built, so that your kingdom may advance on this earth, and so that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.